Welcome. Well, let's see. What am I gonna do here? Me. The ocelot. We also have great hunting in Florida.
Yeah.
Duck hunting.
Waterfowl.
Seriously?
It's off.
Start the dishwasher.
That sounded corny.
Mm.
But we'll roll with it.
When you wish.
What do you vote for Pedro and he'll make your wildest dreams come true? Pedro offers you his protection. Are you Pedro's cousins with all the sweet hookups? Tina. You fat lord. Come eat some ham. Is Pedro there?
It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
Welcome back. This week, we're going to be talking about some bucket list trophies.
This is an exciting episode.
Oh, I'm excited about this one.
When we first sat down and mapped out, I think we mapped out a year's worth of episodes, a little over a year's worth. And so we had a topic for every week. And this was one, when we put it down, like we both jumped through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
So when we talk about bucket list, when we first started talking about it, we kind of had to make a natural division because we wanted to do a couple of episodes on it. So we decided to do one where we talk destinations, and then we wanted to do one where we talk actual trophies.
Species.
These are the bucket list items you want to kill or hunt or catch or whatever. Tonight's episode, help me out. We've broken it up. We've got what we call our Florida bucket list.
Yeah, the Florida. This is all about species. So Florida bucket list, the fishing bucket list. And then the hunting bucket list.
And we actually we crowdsourced some material this week. So
yep.
We actually did it a couple of weeks ago in preparation for this episode. We posted on Facebook and a couple of different groups and got some comments. And so you may hear some stuff that we brought in from you guys into this episode. So with that, Nate, you want to take us into the first split?
Yeah. So the Florida bucket list.
Florida bucket list.
Yeah. So we live in Florida, Central Florida, and we are really blessed to live here and thankful. We try not to take it for granted. Hashtag blessed.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people's bucket list species that can be taken care of in Florida.
Yeah. The first one that came to my mind when we talked about it was the key slam.
Yeah. Tarpon, permit, bonefish.
Yeah. From the flats. You can do it with light tackle spinning or fly rod.
Fly rod, yeah.
That's an awesome. I mean, it's awesome that you can come somewhere and catch those three species on a fly in the United States.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like it's
absolutely.
A domestic flight.
Yeah.
You have to get your
That one's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
And I live in Florida.
It's on my bucket list. I've never caught a bonefish in Florida. I've caught them in the Bahamas. I've never caught one in Florida. So that'd be just awesome to accomplish.
Yeah.
Florida's the tarpon capital of the world.
I mean, Boca Grande Pass.
You got Boca Grande Pass. You've got the Keys. You've got the mullet run going on now at a beach near you.
Yeah.
You've got Homosassa. Traditionally, Homosassa is one of the fly fishing destinations in the world. I mean, back in the old days, Ted Williams and all those guys would come into Homosassa to fly fish.
They don't even like you to use, like the guides over there, no guide over there uses bait at all.
Yeah, no, it's artificial only.
All artificial and mostly fly fishing because of the fishery there.
And Bean Point in Tampa looks like Boca Grande Pass anymore because of all the boats lined up catching tarpon there.
That is true.
It's just when you talk tarpon, this
Florida
is the place to come. I mean, yeah, there's other places you can catch tarpon, but Florida's just anywhere you go, you can catch them.
Yep, that's right. Snook
in the United States,
it's us and like around the border of Texas and Mexico, basically.
Yeah, and that gets pushed back every year or so depending on water quality and
weather and stuff like that.
Just like our snook line kind of does with the freeze line up around New Smyrna,
right?
But you'll find a few that go north of there.
But we catch a ton of snook,
yeah, and we kind of take it for granted.
We sure do.
I was joking with you the other day, you can go on the Minnesota Fishing Forum page and post a picture with a 25-inch snook and people lose their mind.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my gosh, that's a bucket list fish.
Right.
So it's really cool to be able to live here. We have redfish and we have trout and we have great fisheries for those things. When I think of redfish, I think of Louisiana, though.
Yes.
When I think of trout, I think of Louisiana or Texas.
Their fishery for redfish is ridiculous. We also have great hunting in Florida. You know, duck hunting. We do a lot of duck hunting. We kill a lot of ringneck ducks.
And full plume.
Full, like beautiful. Beautiful ducks, because we're on the last part of the flyway.
Yep.
All these ducks are coming down to Florida.
Blue wings and green wing teal, when they get here late in the season, they are
beautiful.
They are resplendent.
Beautiful. Like,
that's a good word, right?
That is a 10-cent word right there, my friend.
Put a dime in the jar for that one.
Yep. And we also have whistling ducks, which
The black bellies, which I think they get those in like Texas and maybe a little bit in Louisiana, but I think we got the corner on that market, really. And then also the fulvus.
Right.
Which I'm sure you can get those other places, but people come here to get them.
That's true. But yeah, we get a wide variety of all kind of duck species.
Yeah, widgeon. We get a strong widgeon migration every year. Pintails. Pintails. We always see a bunch of
bluebills, redheads.
Yep.
You know, we don't, the main one we don't get is greenhead mallards and geese.
Yeah. And they get them up in North Florida a little bit, but
a little bit,
not enough to. But anyway, it's hard to beat living here for that reason. We've also got gators.
Yes.
A lot of people want to come here and kill a gator.
Lots of people all over the country want to come here to kill a gator.
And we're not just referring to Florida State fans.
No.
Or Tennessee fans. Or Kentucky fans.
Georgia fans. Yeah. And Gator Tail is great.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a destination. We have so many gators. I won't say it's easy to fill a tag, but it's not unexpected to fill a tag.
Right. You're not working that hard.
Right.
Unless you're trying to find like a giant one.
Yeah, but even the guys that are on it, I knew like Peter Deeks and some of those guys down in South Florida, they seems like every gator they kill is 12 feet.
Yeah, he gets it done, man. We also have turkeys.
The Osceola
turkey.
We have easterns in the northern half of the state.
Right. The cutoff line's like Ocala.
Okay.
Sort of. You know, so any part of the southern part of the peninsula, you've got Osceola turkeys. Only place in the country you can kill it. Part of the Grand Slam.
You got Osceola, Merriam's, Rio Grande, and Eastern.
Yep.
Four in the United States.
Yeah, then you have the Royal Slam, which includes those four in a Goulds.
And an Oscillated.
And then the World Slam, you include the Oscillated.
Okay.
The Goulds turkey's like Arizona, Mexico, Southern,
right. I'm going to stick with the Osceola because it's in Florida. It's in my backyard, literally.
Literally. Yeah, you have a big one strutting around here every year.
I do. So that's... we were joking about hashtags a minute ago, but it's we live here. People that you see that on the internet sometimes, we get to live where other people come on vacation.
Right.
Get to chase their bucket list. It's really, we're kind of in a unique situation.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't stop us from dreaming about things we'd like to go catch and things we'd like to go chase.
That is absolutely right.
So we broke this up. What do we've got fishing next, and then we're going to do hunting after
hunting.
That.
Yep.
Okay, so take us into fishing. What's on your fishing bucket list?
So one of my main fishing bucket list items is I want to go catch a muskie, like in the northern, like Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Southern Canada.
Yeah, like a 50-inch.
Do you want to get like a Ron muskie. Swanson type canoe and paddle yourself into the backcountry with a backpack and in a single lure topwater duck plug, baby duck plug, and catch a muskie?
Yeah, I'd be into that.
You would?
Yeah. That'd
like,
be fun.
Like your forefathers
I'd also
did.
Be into being on a bass boat and doing it, too.
With but, a trolling know, motor in a
yeah,
lodge.
Yeah, and like a depth finder and stuff like that.
Where someone cooks you dinner.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm into amenities, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to catch one of those. I watch it on TV, and they just seem like really cool fish.
They remind me a little bit of snook. I've caught pike. I've never caught a muskie.
Yeah.
But they remind me a little bit of snook. And their
Maybe
and their,
that's why I like them so
their
much.
Their makeup and their structure and everything.
I love snook so much.
I think I would have to go rooster fish.
Oh, that's a solid
first
one.
On my list.
That's a good one.
My wife will tell you, like, a couple years ago, I planned a vacation to go catch rooster fish. It didn't work out. We ended up going duck hunting instead that year. But,
well,
you eat potato, potato, right?
Yeah, right.
But I just, it's, for whatever reason, that's just, I don't have this desire to go catch a marlin. I have this strong pulling desire to go catch a rooster fish. That's top of my list. Like, number one, I want to catch it on a topwater plug. I want to catch it, we were talking about it the other day, like, with the rocky.
Yeah, jagged rocks and the surf, like 10-foot waves.
Yeah. You're throwing a top water plug that's like 10 inches long and just ripping it across
right.
the surface and
right.
having a big old rooster fish chase it up there. I want to do that. Like you see on TV.
Absolutely.
We talked about TV shows a few weeks ago. I want to go do that.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
What else is on your bucket list?
So another fishing. One for me, fishing-wise, would be like go to Alaska.
Okay.
It's kind of a multi-species one.
Sure.
Like a halibut.
Just for the halibut.
Just for the halibut.
I'm going to make that joke every time you say halibut.
All right. That's going to get old. But halibut, salmon.
Just for the halibut.
They have rockfish, which I hear are excellent eating. And they catch all these fish in like 700 feet of water, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah. Plus, you can probably get a good price on crab back at the marina.
That's right. Fresh crab.
Straight off the boat kind of deal.
Yeah. So that's another one for me is just kind of doing Alaska.
I'm a little
trip.
Surprised you're as freshwater heavy on this as you are.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right.
Our proximity to salt, I guess, lends it to.
Yeah, because, you're
not as salty as, well, you're not usually that salty, but you're not as salty as I thought you'd be on your choices.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think it's, I think because we have so much great saltwater fishing here.
So I think I'd like to catch a bluefin tuna.
You know, I was just thinking that right before you said that, I thought about that.
Tuna type tuna, like a 500-pound bluefin tuna.
Yes, I'd be into that.
You know, I'll be okay if I kick it over and haven't caught one, I guess. But that just seems really cool to me, like, to have accomplished that in your life. I'm not really a billfish guy. Sailfish are great, but beyond that, the marlins and stuff like that, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I'm not that guy. But I could get behind trying to catch one of those big, just like a gigantic football.
Yes.
You caught little tuna before and stuff like that, but I just would love to catch one of the monsters.
I would love to catch one of those too.
Anything else on your fishing bucket list? I've got another good one.
Okay.
That will probably surprise some people.
All right.
I'd like to catch a 10-pound bass.
Oh.
I've caught a gajillion bass in my life, and I've never broken double digits.
You and me neither.
So I just think when we talk about trophies and we have this conversation, like, trophies are super personal. Right? Like,
right. They're so subjective.
So subjective. What matters to you, if you your first bass was a 15-pound bass, that doesn't matter to you anymore.
Right, exactly.
But there's the law of average, just like bands and ducks. You know, like,
yeah.
There's no odds that say you're going to kill a banded duck this year. I know people have killed 10 in a season. I know people have hunted 10 years and never killed any.
Right, right.
So it's just, I love this because it's such a personal thing.
I like the 10-pound bass because I think my biggest is like 6 or 7. I've never killed one double digits, or killed one, caught one double digits either.
So when we talk about the subjectivity of it, Bob on Facebook said that he'd like to catch a 3-pound crappie or speckled perch, specks as we call them in Florida.
Wow.
And I thought, that's a great trophy. And
that's
and
awesome.
When you really dug into it, the guy has killed every duck you can kill in North America, every goose you can kill in North America.
Right.
So for him, trophies had transcended from checking off all the species into accomplishing a goal on a certain species, which, strangely enough, was a kind of a throwaway species for a lot of people around here, right? You've caught a million specks in your life.
Sure.
You don't really think anything of it. That's, to me, that's super cool. That's when the trophy really
cool.
embodies the whole deal.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like the fact that, you know, trophy can mean anything to anybody.
What'd you see out there that was, we saw a lot of rooster fish.
A lot of rooster fish. Kevin on Facebook said Goliath grouper.
Yeah.
Which we have a lot of in Florida here. So that's another bucket list item that people come.
Where are we at as a show? Are we calling them Goliath grouper or are we calling them Jewfish? Because it's hard for me to make that switch.
I mean, the technical name for them is Goliath grouper.
Are you gonna cite me if I call them Jewfish?
Like, no. I don't.
Are you going to throw that back in my face a lot?
I'm not.
Okay. Probably the strangest one that we saw out there was from actually a guy we know, Frank Leto, his guide in Tampa. He called out a milkfish on fly.
What is a milkfish?
It looks like this big cross between a tarpon and a mullet.
Okay.
And you can target them on fly. It's a destination
fish. It's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. But that was a really cool, like, no one else had called that out.
Where do these fish live?
I'm not positive, but I think they're mostly like a Pacific fish, like a Hawaii. I don't know that you can get them in like the Seychelles or somewhere like that, but they're like a big jack mullet looking thing. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm describing them as best I can by memory.
I believe you. I can look it up later if I need to.
Yeah, I'll Google it for you after the show.
Okay, thanks. Another one we found on Facebook from a few people was peacock bass, like in the Amazon.
Yeah, I think my friend Terry actually posted about that. He was one of the first ones to bring up going to the Amazon to catch a peacock
bass.
And
I'm in on this one. I think
him to call you before he goes?
Yeah, I want to catch like a 20-pound peacock bass on a topwater.
Yeah, so the only peacock bass I've ever caught was about a pound. But do they not get that big in Florida? Like, do you know anything about this?
No, I think that's right. We have them in Florida in like Miami area.
Yeah, very South Southwest. Florida in the canals and headwaters.
But I think the biggest one people have ever caught in Florida is like 8 or 10 pounds, maybe.
Okay, and I've seen videos of like the
but they're like,
ones
yeah, 15, 20 giant ones.
Will
in
they
Amazon.
Get that size here eventually?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
That'd be something
I'm putting you on the spot
up.
As though yeah. you're a marine biologist.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Another thing I saw a lot was when people talk bucket list, they talked giant trevally.
Yeah. Okay.
Which I can totally get behind. I'm a Jack Crevalle guy. Like, I love to catch jacks.
I like catch
if
jacks.
I'm going to turn it loose, I'd rather catch a jack as anything else because it fights like nobody's business. So I can see the appeal of that. I'm not going to spend my kids' college tuition to go do it, but this is the bucket list show, right? So there's no rules on that.
Yeah. 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 I think I'm with you on this one. They seem like just like a huge jack to me, and we have some big jack in Florida, especially on the East Coast. that you can go catch a 30-pounder if you want to.
Yeah.
And call it a giant trevally.
But no, more power to you if you want to go, is it Christmas Island or Seychelles or somewhere out there and do that? The one that cracked me up the most, I shouldn't say even cracked me up the most, I appreciated it the most. A guy on the Boca Coast post where we posted this said, his name was Chris, said he wanted to say a slot snook. I love it.
That's great.
It's exactly what we were talking about, right?
So subjective. It can mean anything to anybody.
Personal, and man, there's no judgment on you.
And for the guy that's never caught a slot snook, that's his goal. I mean, that's his fish that he wants to catch.
I'm actually friends with another guy on Facebook, Justin, and he caught his first snook a couple of weeks ago. And it was on a fly rod. And it was maybe 15 inches long. And he was like, guys, I'm so proud of this fish. And he should be.
You know, absolutely, that's an accomplishment, man. Absolutely.
There's people that fish their whole lives and won't catch one.
Yeah, so. One thing I hate about people, especially on, like, we can get into this on our social media episode, but it's the apologizing for, like, oh, this deer isn't that big or this fish isn't that big, but it's a fish. Look, don't apologize for stuff like that, man. You know, you caught that fish. Be proud of it.
Can we write this down? This particular episode is the first time Nate has gone on a rant. Like, Nate just went on a rant about social media. Look, I'm so excited about
this.
That's
one
like,
thing that kills me. It's just that, you know, all these people try to apologize for this, you know, deer or turkey or duck or whatever they kill. They're like, oh, it's not that big. It's not that pretty. Whatever. Who cares?
I'm right there with you, Ben.
Who cares? Be proud of what you do.
I'm right there with you. Are you okay?
I'm okay.
All right. You need a minute?
Everybody's
need to pause
the
episode?
No, we're good, man.
Everybody come back in like 30 seconds?
We're good. Okay. We're good.
I love it, dude. I'm excited about this. You got me fired up.
Let's do it.
So we pretty much covers. I mean, there were the usual marlins. There were the usual. Right. There were a few people said mahi. Love it, man. I love all of it.
Yeah, whatever's your bucket list is your bucket list, man. Go try to achieve it.
What about on the hunting side?
All right, so
let's talk about ours first.
Yeah, so I spend a lot more time dreaming about hunting bucket lists than I do fishing bucket lists. I love Western hunting.
Okay.
I listen to a lot of podcasts on it.
Then why don't you marry it?
Well, I'd like to.
You didn't realize your co-host was 12 years old?
Yeah.
Or you did realize that? You just were hoping I'd be quiet.
Well, you know, if some butts were candy and nuts. Anyway, I dream about that a lot and read about it a lot and listen to it a lot. A lot of my bucket list hunting items have to do with Out West.
Okay, so what do you got first?
So if you just, off the top, elk with a bow.
Elk. Now, you went on an elk hunt a couple
I did,
years ago.
And I missed a cow. I had a either sex tag, and I missed the cow at about 40 yards. To me, it was like, oh, man, I missed. But just
the being fact, able to take the shot.
Just to have that experience was amazing. Public land, do yourself. It was awesome. So I'd like to eventually kill an elk with my bow. But what's on yours?
Well, you know, I'm a waterfowl guy.
Absolutely.
The number one on mine is a cinnamon teal. I can't stand not having a cinnamon teal. And every year somebody kills one, like in the STAs or in the Everglades or somewhere. And it just, I just want a cinnamon teal so bad I can taste it.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't taste it. I'd take it straight to my taxidermist, Landon Blankenship, and I'd be like, Landon, please get this one done. Like, I don't want the freezer to fail. I don't want any power outage. I don't want any risks to affect
the cinnamon. Straight from the water to
his
house.
Literally, I would drive to his house. It would still be warm.
Yeah.
I'd roll up in there. And I think, knowing Landon like I do, he would totally be okay with it. He'd be like, yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
But cinnamon teal is top of my list.
No, that's a good one.
What about you?
As far as ducks go, I'd like to kill a canvasback like you. I just think they're such big, beautiful birds, and I've heard they're such good eating.
Are you familiar with the harlequin? You know what a harlequin duck looks like?
Yes.
So the only place you can kill them, I want to say Washington State, you can hunt them, but also Alaska has
them. They're like the
on.
Blue and white ones, right?
Yeah, they look...
They're gorgeous.
Yeah, they look hand-painted, like they're made of ceramic or something.
Right.
I would love to get one of those to
that
put on my
great.
Wall. I'm not as impressed by a king eider, but I'd definitely go shoot one if I was going to go all the way to Alaska.
Sure.
It's cool. We had a lot of guys on Facebook mention that as their bucket list bird.
Yes.
And was it last year Tony Vandemore did the chase for a
to
king?
To kill a king.
To kill a king. That's what it was. It was a big Benelli commercial.
Yeah, basically. But it was cool. Cool show.
Yeah. And if Benelli wants to give us some super black eagles, we'll do a commercial for them.
We'll do whatever they want for them.
Pay for us to go to Alaska and kill king eiders
yes,
with the
please.
Super black eagle 3. We will
yes,
do that.
Yes, please.
As far as big game goes for me, I've always been fascinated by Africa.
Okay.
So I just think I've never been a deer hunter per se. I've been deer hunting. I've just never been a deer hunter.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to go on a safari to Africa and kill, you know, the gazelles out there, the the kudus and the wildebeests. And I'm fascinated by that continent and by all the diversity of wildlife they have. I get behind that all day long.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you on that one. I'd like to do a plains game hunt out there. I don't really want to do any of the big five.
Yeah, I don't even know if you can still do... I don't think you can kill spotted cats anymore. And I know with the controversy around Cecil, I think to kill a lion anymore is $100,000.
Yeah, I mean, we could do a whole episode on why it costs $100,000.
And the benefits that it has.
Yeah, but we can't get into that right now. But yeah, I'd like to do a plains game hunt, like you were saying, like the impalas and the kudus and the hemsbok and stuff like that.
Right on. What were some of the things we got on Facebook as far as responses to... For Facebook or Twitter, I guess, we had responses both places.
Yes, a lot of cinnamon teal. Saw several cinnamon teal.
Yeah, I started that, I think.
Yeah.
I basically discovered cinnamon teal.
You did?
Well, not really, but I'm going to say I did.
But you've never killed one, but you discovered it?
Yeah, I discovered it for the internet.
All right, just clarifying here. Scott on Facebook said a king eider and a harlequin.
Yep, there you go, the Harleys.
Jake said a bull sprig pintail.
I saw that a lot, and that's another duck you can kill right here in Florida. You got to scout hard, you got to hunt hard, but
yeah, you got to be the right place at the right time. But it's possible to do it here.
One of the top answers we got on Twitter was someone wanted to actually harvest a Sasquatch.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's an admirable bucket list goal before you die.
Yeah, you're probably gonna die before that one happens. But you know, hey,
should we do an episode on enigmas in the outdoors? We had a lot of turkey slam guys.
Yes, I'm a turkey slam guy.
Wanting to kill all the turkeys. We talked about that earlier in the episode.
We had several bow elk hunt, a couple of bighorn sheeps, which is on my bucket list, but I'm going to have to apply for the tag for the rest of my life. I'll be 65 before I draw that tag.
Obviously, as podcasters, we listen to a lot of podcasts. And Steve Ranella on Meat Eater did a great episode on, what are they called, the governor's tags?
Yes, every state... Well, most of the Western states have a governor's tag that they auction off every year. And it basically entitles you to any animal at any time of the year you can hunt. Most people use it for a sheep because they're the hardest.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think the Montana one goes for like $350,000 every year.
And all that money goes back to conservation.
Yeah, 98% or something like that of that money goes straight back into the conservation. There's some controversy that surrounds it a little bit, but all in all, it's a good thing because most of that money goes straight back into the research.
Are you going to pony up for a governor's tag to go kill your sheep?
Unless I win the lottery, then no.
Probably not.
No, I'm
probably
just going to go public. I'll go the less than 1% route. I saw a couple of guys on Facebook say caribou.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That'd be a cool one.
We sat next to a guy on a plane a couple years ago, my wife and I, that he was a big reindeer hunter from Iceland.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and he was that was his thing. Like, that's actually how he got his meat. He reindeer hunted.
Yeah. That's really
cool. On the regular.
I'm into that.
Yeah, I could get behind that.
Yeah.
We did have a couple of people talk about red stags in New Zealand.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Billy and Blair were both red stag guys or yaks in New Zealand.
Yaks?
Yeah, I don't even know you could hunt a yak in New Zealand. That's cool. That's getting Googled and maybe added to my list.
Yeah. No, red stag are awesome.
The only thing I know about yaks is that was always the animal that was used on the alphabet board when you were like in kindergarten.
The Y?
Yeah.
For the Y,
it was a Q. The quail was for Q, and a Y was always yak. We also had one of my friends, Bill, mention the spectacled eider. I don't know what that duck is.
What is that?
I don't know. I know the king eider. I'm a duck guy.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that, so thanks, Bill. I'm going to go Google that.
We're going to look that one up.
He may be on my list as well. The best summary to all of this was Charlie, one of my friends on Facebook, Charlie said, the next fish.
Yes, that's a great
answer. And
that's
exactly what all of our trophy is ultimately, right?
Yeah.
The duck I want to kill the most is the next duck I shoot at.
Right.
The fish I want to catch the most is the next fish I shoot at.
Right, and that's the same thing we were just talking about. Just the subjectivity of it. It can mean one thing to one person and a totally different thing to another person. Both of those things are okay.
Yep.
Like, there's no wrong answer here. As long as it's legal, it's not wrong, right?
One of the trophies in my house is actually a ugly bluebill that, I mean, when I say ugly, he was eclipse plumage, young Drake, and it was my son's first duck.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
a trophy,
that's
man. That bird's going to be cleaned and hung in my house for years to come, and he'll take it to his house, and hopefully his kids will get it one day, and it's just an heirloom.
Yeah.
So that's why we do what we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that puts a bow on our bucket list trophies episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it. We hope we were able to hit on some of the ones you wanted us to talk about. And we hope some of you guys, maybe Christmas is coming up, you can get you a ticket to come to Florida and hunt or fish with us and fill a trophy, or go to wherever your dreams take you. May all your dreams come true.
If we miss anything, or if you have something that you really just want to tell us what's on your bucket list.
Or if you're from PETA and want to reach out to us and let us know how much you enjoy our bucket list.
Sure.
And catches.
Why not? If you want to actually tell us what you think about this episode, and if we missed any bucket list items, let us know on social media at Cast and Blast FL, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We'd love to hear from you.
It's time for Keep and Release.
So as you know by now, Keep and Release is where we talk about one thing we love this week and one thing we don't love this week. So it can be anything, whatever crosses our mind.
Yeah, so my release this week are shirts that say they're 2X or a certain size, and they fit like a wetsuit.
Schmediums.
I mean, schmediums to the max. I'm talking, and I get these, a lot of the times I get them with those sun shirts.
Yeah.
And especially from a company that I, you know, want to have their shirt. I'm like, man, right. That's a cool shirt.
You
want to
represent that brand, yeah. Or you want to represent.
And then I get the shirt, and it's like showing off all my
your goodies.
Curves.
Yeah.
And I've got too many curves to be showing off any curves.
Dude, I say you flaunt it. I'm with you. That's a great release because I also have, I'm curvy.
Yeah.
full figured.
I'm not into tight fitting clothes.
Yeah.
Like it's got to be a little bit
roomy.
So companies, if you're listening to this, please make sure your sizes are appropriate to what they say they are. So if it's a 2X, make sure there's plenty of room for a guy that's a 2X.
Or offer larger sizes.
Yeah, that too. Or have a disclaimer. These shirts run small.
Yeah.
That way we bump up a size. So Travis, what's your release this week?
My release this week is a Kershaw fillet knife.
Okay.
And I like Kershaw knives. That's my daily carry.
Yeah, I got one in my pocket right now. Yeah,
my EDC is a Leek Kershaw quick release knife. So, and that would be a Keep item. But I bought a Kershaw fillet knife from Cabela's or somewhere. I ordered it back over the summer. First fish I filleted with it because I needed a new sharp knife. First fish I filleted with it, the tip broke on a bone on a snapper.
Oh
so
God.
I need, and then I sent an email into customer service, got no response. I just expected better.
Yeah.
So I'm releasing it. You know, there's plenty of good knives out there. Danko's making a knife now. Bubble Blades, Rapala,
great.
The Timeless Classic, oh, yeah, Dexter
the
Russell.
The wood handle, 6-inch.
Yeah. I'm out on the Kershaw.
Okay. I'm with you on that. What's your keep this week, Travis?
My keep this week, you're going to love this one.
Okay.
Speaking of tight fitting shirts.
All right.
Did you know that have you been to Hardee's lately?
It's been a while.
Okay. Well, there's still Hardee's around. I did not know this until recently. Hardee's for breakfast has a pork chop and gravy biscuit.
Pork chop and gravy?
Yeah, like sausage gravy.
Like if you get a chicken fried steak chicken fried steak at a restaurant, they pour that white gravy like that.
Like that.
As a pork chop.
On top of a pork chop, on top of a biscuit. Yeah. And you can get it through a drive-thru.
Let's go right now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the only thing Hardee's is doing wrong here is they're not serving it all day.
Right.
So that's my keep item this week. I'm not saying you need to hit this every day or you will have the schmedium problem we discussed
right.
earlier.
Right.
But I am saying this is a nice little treat every once in a while.
Yeah. No, I need to check that out.
What's your keep item?
So my keep item this week is a book.
Okay.
I just finished this book last week. It's called The Big Sky by A.B. Guthrie. It's a book about, if you're really into like the history of the West and kind of, especially like mountain men history, which
okay.
I'm kind of into. It's kind of a historical fiction about a guy who grows up in Kentucky, dreams about going West and trapping beavers and living the mountain man lifestyle, does it, and then kind of all the adventures that ensue.
The hijinks.
Yeah,
the shenanigans.
And adventures. It's a great story, well written. It really just keeps you locked in the entire time.
Easy read?
It is very easy read. Yeah, it's like, I listen to it on audiobook.
Okay.
That's what I do a lot. And I think it was 15 hours.
Okay.
So not the longest book, but long enough to keep you interested.
The Big Sky.
The Big Sky by A.B. Guthrie.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes if you click on that and buy it through the Amazon link. You'll actually be contributing to the show almost in secret.
Yeah, you won't even know it.
But you will, because we just told you.
Right.
I'm William Thompson, and it's time for the 2-Minute Will. First up, Travis, what was your favorite book growing up?
My favorite book growing up, we're actually going to do a show on outdoor books at some point, but my favorite book growing up was by Peter Hathaway Capstick.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Death in the Long Grass.
It's a great one.
Yeah, if you like outdoor adventure, hunting, want to understand how it was like in the 40s and 50s and 60s in Africa, like this is
a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, the dude writes, come to find out, maybe he embellished some of the stories a little bit, but the dude writes with such a great style.
Oh my gosh.
What about you?
Me, it was A Land Remembered by Patrick D. Smith.
Strong.
I mean, if you live in Florida, it should be a requirement
should
to
be
become
required.
A Florida citizen.
Yep.
To read this book.
Yep. Totally agree.
I mean, it's a historical fiction about a family named
McIvey. The McIvey family.
And they're kind of their journey helping to settle Florida.
What about you, Will? What was your book?
Well, to be honest, I've read a lot of books in my day. Also, I'm still kind of growing up, so
I've read
a lot of books. So I'm just going to say my favorite series from last year. Is that acceptable?
Sure.
Okay.
It's your segment, so anything's
good,
acceptable.
Good point. The series of unfortunate events. I've read every single book in the series. I started with the second one because, you know, it wasn't at my school library. Like, the first one wasn't, so I had to start with the second one, but I loved it. Also, it's kind of the book that got me into reading.
Cool.
Okay, so on to our next question. What is your least favorite beverage?
That's an odd question. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a beer guy. I try a lot of beers. Like, we've gone to Grove Roots and stuff. I've tried...
Yeah.
I think you like the
seed spitter. Yeah.
I can't get next to beer. So that would probably be my least favorite beverage.
Yeah. My least favorite beverage is unsweet tea.
Oh, that's strong because that's nasty.
Yeah. Like if you order a sweet tea and they accidentally give you an unsweet tea, you basically ruined your day.
Yeah. No,
right there.
It's true.
I mean, honestly.
It's true.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.
I caught you a delicious bass. Would you like some boondoggle keychains? No, I made like 50 million of those at camp. See the mountains over there? Back in 82, I could have thrown a football over the mountains.
Uncle Rico.
Napoleon. Y'all want to see my video? Y'all want to see my podcast? Your grandma, Napoleon, your grandma broke her coccyx. She went to the sand dunes. She broke her coccyx.
What?
Coccyx. What is that? You're just ruining everyone's lives and eating all of our steak. I hope all of your wildest dreams come true. We need something to be real official, Kip. Maybe some gold bracelets or something. Rex Quando. Think I'm going home to Darla?
Stop.
Why don't you go eat a decroded piece of crap?